episode 5 of In Session with me, Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Ann Ulquist.
We take a weekly short look at what our elected officials are addressing in Bismarck during the 69th legislative session. As we move past the deadlines for bills to be entered into the hopper, the legislators are moving bills into two buckets: do not pass out of committees or pass. Either way, they go to the floors for a vote. And House Bill 1358 went to the floor about charter schools with a do not pass recommendation.
It wasn't too surprising that charter schools would be revisited as a policy topic. There have been bills over the last couple of sessions to publicly fund charter schools.
The House Education Committee brings before you House Bill 1358 relating to the authorization of public charter schools.
That's Representative Hattelstead from Williston. North Dakota is a bit unusual, one of five states that doesn't provide some form of public money for charter schools.
Why is that?
You know, Eric, education, how it's paid for, what the standards are, it's specific to each state. And if you look at the tension that bubbled up around this topic in North Dakota, who voted for House Bill 1358, who voted against it, a lot of it came down to representatives from Fargo and Grand Forks speaking up in favor of the bill, and representatives outside of the larger cities who represent rural areas arguing against it, or at least wrestling with voting against it.
Okay, million-dollar question. Who is the driving force behind this bill?
Representative Eric Murphy. He's from a district in Grand Forks. Here he is on the House floor after the committee sent it on with a do-not-pass recommendation.
A public charter school is a school that is chartered by the organization, in our case, Department of Public Instruction, that must carry out an educational mission consistent with a traditional public school, your local school district. All the testing requirements, graduation requirements are exactly the same. Where is the difference?
You know, and I've always wondered, what is the difference between a charter school and a public school? Now, I think of charter schools as catering to students with specific needs or maybe even special needs.
That was part of the initial bill in committee, and opponents to the bill, they called a party foul on that one.
The charter school, the way this bill is written, is not specifically designed for children with issues. It is wide open. Every child in the state of North Dakota can attend.
That's Representative Pat Heinert from Bismarck.
Okay, so what's actually in the bill?
The bill would have funded 12 charter schools in the 2025-2027 biennium. Remember that the current legislative session is funding things over 2 years. And then it would increase to 27 charter schools. It would tack on another 15 in the 2027-2029 biennium.
So the supporters for charter schools must have had other arguments.
And that's where the differences between rural and urban really stood out. Urban areas are more diverse. The public schools are managing classrooms with children from lower-income households who may not have the advantages of home with a lot of books and blocks and activities. You know, the things outside of the school that reinforce learning and curiosity.
What's the choice for poor folks and folks that can't afford a private school? They need to be in the public school, but their needs aren't being met. We talk about choice in this chamber. This is a good bill for school choice.
It's really a populist argument. Who better to determine how to best meet the needs of children than parents?
Spoiler alert, the House ultimately voted it down, but it was close, 45 to 44. It can't get much closer than that. So clearly, Representative Murphy made some compelling arguments, but not quite enough to get the votes to move it to the Senate.
Yeah, you could really hear it on the floor, like Representative Heinert. He really wrestled with how to vote on this bill, and in the end,
I think the biggest thing that made an impression on me, though, in reference to this at this time, not saying that in 2 years from now I would not support a charter school, but at this time, the biggest thing that made an impression on me is the amount of money and the amount of bills that we've provided in the last three sessions for innovation in our schools.
Yeah, I can really hear it in his voice, and he's talking about existing innovation for public education here. Like what?
Like students being able to take classes at a technical college that counts towards their graduation requirements. You know, the public schools of yore, you know, one-room schoolhouse, reading, writing, arithmetic. Well, public education has changed a lot to meet the demands of a changing workforce. And yes, responding to parents who say their kids' needs aren't being met. Public schools are much more nimble and adaptive.
And you know, there's an expression I've heard around North Dakota, lose your school, lose your community.
You know, Eric, Representative Hattelstead from Williston, who's on the Education Committee, he brought that up.
We will see the loss of students, resources, possible loss of the school, educational loss, erosion of social fabric, loss of identity.
Yeah, it's the social role public schools play. They're community hubs, they're conveners of public conversation, they're sites of joy and celebration around their sports teams, especially here in North Dakota, and things like spelling bees and, of course, academic achievements.
You know, schools are still the one place a community can come together. It's not segregated. People cannot opt out in North Dakota. That place is the local school.
So what happens now?
So on February 3rd, there was a motion to reconsider the bill that failed in the House. There is a bill in the Senate that's much more specific and prescriptive about how charter schools can be operated in North Dakota. And there are other discussions that crack the door open on public funds being used outside public schools, like Governor Armstrong's budget recommendations to create educational savings accounts. So more to come on how public dollars are spent on schools. But charter schools, as expansively as expressed in House Bill 1358, that's off the table.
And I've got a number for our three numbers of the week. We start off with the number 18.
Oh, I think I know where this is going. Is this in reference to North Dakota's Attorney General, Drew Wrigley?
Ding, ding, ding. And you win. He is one of 18 attorney generals to join an amicus brief supporting President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship.
Well, I got a sort of number. It's triple, roughly triple. I know we're not in baseball season yet, but this is a triple. So you remember when the governor recommended property tax relief right when the session started?
Yeah, vaguely. He wanted to increase the tax credit, right?
Exactly. He wanted to about triple it from $500 to over $1,500. So that bill is now making its way through committee and picking up steam.
Last number.
One, as in one troubadour for North Dakota. There was a resolution to make Chuck Suki North Dakota's official troubadour for the next 5 years.
So like a state poet laureate, but he sings and sings songs quite well, Chuck does. Chuck is a friend of Prairie Public. He has always been. He's going to take us out of this week's episode of In Session.
And I'm glad I was born to the country hind plain.
Hey, thank you for checking out In Session. Share around, like us, leave us a review, a good one, hopefully. Tate Calloway edited today's episode. He is our radio studio operator. Christine McClellan is our communications manager. And Leah Peterson is our digital communications specialist. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Ann Alquist.
See ya next week.